Today's sermon is called, Do You Know Where You're Going To? My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. The Lord God of our grateful hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of the children in America are given the gift of music at a very, very young age. From our earliest days, just out of the womb, we're surrounded by babbles and coos of loved ones who are telling us that we, too, are loved and adored. Mothers sing us lullabies that enchant each generation. Do we remember some of these? Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mom's gonna buy you a mockingbird. How about this one? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Can you finish that? How about rock-a-bye baby on the treetop? What are the next words? Or how about this? Sometimes they follow us from a different culture and a time altogether. Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, dormez-vous. The point here is we may not have thought of these particular lullabies, these particular types of music, these particular hymns, but they're in our bones. And I think that was fun. But the lullabies of today are so much nicer than the ones of yesteryear. They have softer lyrics. Have you ever read the words, or do you remember the words to Brahms' lullaby? It's a nice tune, right? Lullaby and good night. But I think those words, I want you to look this up on Wikipedia. They would make anyone overhearing you, if you sang these to your baby, exactly what your parenting style and perspective might be. But they come from a time where they're instructive nonetheless. For while we seek comfort of our mothers, our fathers, and other parent figures, as we get older, we begin to realize the fragility of our lives and larger questions about ourselves, and that our lives are not always 100% under our control. We learn this a lot of ways, don't we? We witness it in the lives of others. Illness, injury, job loss, divorce, sudden and unexpected death of a friend or loved one. We're lucky if it doesn't happen to our own family too soon or too often. But when these things do enter our lives, these events, we start to see larger questions pop up in life and consciousness. And music has always been a way to deal with things like that. And it's been a big deal for me in terms of my life phases and moods. In my younger years, I was a big fan of Simon and Garfunkel, right? I am a rock, I am an island. Remember that? I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor. Hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. Oh, my goodness, that's pretty dark stuff. But I made it through that phase, and I think college kind of does that to you. Everybody goes through a little dark phase, but I returned kind of to a Motown sound a little later, and I focused in not just on Marv and Smokey and Stevie, but on the fabulous Miss Diana Ross. Not Stop in the Name of Love, Diana Ross, but the theme from Mahogany. Remember that? I know you do. I know we all remember that. But that's a movie that nobody's ever seen, but I'll bet you've heard the words of the theme song. I'll remind you. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? Do you get what you're hoping for? When you look behind you, there's no open door. What are you hoping for? Do you know? Now, there's some deep questions. And we can only hope that younger folks are asking those same questions. Do you know where you're going to? Do you know what you're hoping for? Rather than maybe some of the darker stuff of Art Garfunkel, as necessary as that is. So the point is, these questions of identity and direction that are scattered throughout our great American songbook also reflect Jesus' questions in our text today, don't they? Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John are in the form of a question. And that can be invitational, if spoken in a kind manner, or confrontational, if spoken in another way. Confrontational will be, what do you want? Or invitational, as in maybe another translation of the Bible. What do you seek? What are you looking for? Or as the fabulous Miss Diana Ross might say, if she were translating this passage, she might say, do you know where you're going to? It's a good question, isn't it? It's maybe the question. If we discount all those little cartoons with the guru on the mountaintop being asked, what's the meaning of life? Because when we show up in church, or when someone shows up in church for the first time, what are they looking for? Do we remember the first time we entered a church in a new location? What is it that led us to that particular church? What are we looking for? Direction? Meaning? I remember a couple that, in a church that I served, and they told me that they came to Coffee 35 years ago and that they never left. And in another context, in another church, I had some newly married folks that come in, and they wanted to quit watching Netflix all the time. They wanted human contact and something different outside their work lives. And they weren't happy getting that from TV families. Are we looking for something spiritual? When we ask to get, say, baptized or married in a church by a pastor, are we hoping to do in that act something holy? At that place, by that person, a reminder for ourselves of what's sacred, our blessing for life's incredible journey. In John's Gospel, Jesus always asks questions. He's always asking questions, and they're never easy ones. He's always taking us from little surface conversations into existential questions. If we think about John's Gospel, where else do these existential questions happen? When someone just comes up innocuously and encounters Jesus, and he asks him about the meaning of just about everything, where does that else does that happen in John's Gospel? Remember the woman at the well talking about water? What does Jesus do? He starts talking about living water or spiritual needs. Jesus gives sight to a blind man, and the crowd's amazed. But Jesus talking about spiritual blindness, right? And remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and Jesus starts to be talking about being born again. Nicodemus thinks this is a physical thing, but Jesus talking about spiritual rebirth. And so Jesus is always seeking to shift us out of our comfort zone to something else that shakes up our existence. That's what we're talking about when we say that these are existential questions. And the new year is the best time to take inventory of our lives and see if we're answering those questions that we should see. Do you get what you're hoping for? When you look behind you, there's no open door. What are you hoping for? Do you know? You see where I'm going? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. When you hear that song from way back, what does it remind you of? What is the question? What makes life worth living? Now, I know what we would say. It's about relationships, of course, and many of us would say, well, family, of course. But Jesus says it's bigger than that. Just as God expands our minds and hearts. Relationship with God is what comes first. Because relationship with God is relationship with presence outside ourselves. Outside of our clan's little rules. And it's why Jesus says that love of family is great. But let's get outside our trusted clan. And let's start to love our neighbor on their terms, on God's terms, not on what we think that love should be according to our family's rules. At the end of our lives, it's hard to say what possessions would make life worth living. All that stuff gets sold off in an estate sale. We've seen that. At the end of our lives, what made life worth living is about relationships, the love we gave and the love we received. And that's to everybody. And we come to church to learn about God's promises and follow Christ's teachings to keep us focused. Focused on what matters. That love being given and received. Where are you staying? John's disciples ask. What they're asking is, where do you abide? Where do you dwell, Jesus? Because we want to be there. And John told us to go there, wherever that is. You're the Lamb of God. You're the Messiah. He told us to go and follow. And Jesus says to them, come and see. He invites them. Come and abide in my love. He says, abide in my love. That's what we're looking for. Lord, show us the way. Because as Christians, although we can lament along with the best and most of folk singers, we also know that darkness doesn't stay. But we need a guiding light. And that light overcomes the darkness every time and cannot be ignored for long. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.